However, it's time we passed on now to prajna, which is the sixth and last paramita, the sixth and last perfection of transcendental virtue. And prajna is from the Sanskrit root gna, which means simply to know. And pra, which comes before it, is simply an emphatic prefix. And prajna is therefore knowledge in the extreme, or knowledge par excellence. And this means, of course, knowledge of reality. Prajna is knowledge of reality. And the word for reality in this connection, not that words really matter very much, the word for reality in this connection is shunyata, which literally means the voidness, emptiness. But of course it's not emptiness as opposed to fullness. It indicates, the word shunyata indicates a state beyond opposites, a state beyond words. Now shunyata is the subject matter of the perfection of wisdom group of sutras. And the perfection of wisdom group of sutras is one of the most important of all the different groups of Mahayana Buddhist scriptures. There are incidentally well over 30 different perfection of wisdom texts, perfection of wisdom scriptures. Some are very long. The longest is 100,000 verses, and some, on the other hand, are very short. Among the shorter versions are the well-known Diamond Sutra and the equally well-known Heart Sutra, and these two present the essentials of the whole perfection of wisdom teaching and experience in a highly condensed form. But this is just by the way. Shunyata then is reality. And knowledge of reality means knowledge of shunyata. And knowledge of shunyata is prajna, or wisdom. And we find that four main degrees of shunyata are enumerated. Some texts speak of 20, even 32 degrees, but really there are four main degrees of shunyata, emptiness, voidness. And these are not four different kinds of reality. They represent four progressively deeper stages of penetration by wisdom into ultimate reality. And these four will give us some idea of the nature and content of prajna, or wisdom. Though as we go through them, we shouldn't forget that these are all conceptual constructions or conceptual presentations, not the real thing, not the experience itself. They are all only fingers pointing to the moon. If we can get a glimpse of the moon with the help of these fingers, then we shall be lucky. First of all, what is called emptiness of the conditioned, or Sanskrita shunyata. This means that conditioned existence, phenomenal existence, if you like, relative existence, is devoid of the characteristics of the unconditioned, the absolute, the truth. The characteristics of the unconditioned, of the absolute in Buddhism are, first of all, bliss. Secondly, permanence, that it is beyond time, not that it persists in time, but that it occupies, as it were, a dimension in which time itself does not exist. And then thirdly, true being, ultimate reality. Now, conditioned existence, phenomenal existence, relative existence, is devoid of these, devoid of these three characteristics of the unconditioned. Relative existence, on the contrary, is unsatisfactory, it's impermanent, and it is not ultimately real. And for this reason, the conditioned is said to be empty of the unconditioned. And it means, or this means, that we should not expect to find in the flux of relative existence what only the absolute, only the unconditioned can give us. So the conditioned is said to be empty. And this is the first of the four kinds of shunyata. When we see that the conditioned is empty of the unconditioned. Secondly, emptiness of the unconditioned. Asanskrita shunyata. Here we see, or wisdom sees, that the unconditioned is devoid of the characteristics of conditioned existence. Conditioned existence is unsatisfactory, riddled with unhappiness, it's impermanent, and it's not wholly real. But the unconditioned, the absolute, is devoid of these characteristics of relative existence, the conditioned. The unconditioned is the locus, as we may say, of bliss, of permanence, beyond time, true being, and so on. Therefore we say, or therefore we speak in terms of, therefore we see the emptiness of the unconditioned. That the unconditioned is empty of the conditioned. Just as in the conditioned you will not find the unconditioned, in the unconditioned you will not find the conditioned. So these first two kinds of voidness, emptiness of the conditioned, emptiness of the unconditioned, the two being mutually exclusive, as it were, these two forms of shunyata are common to all forms of Buddhism. And they represent, obviously, a comparatively dualistic approach. That the conditioned is not the unconditioned. The unconditioned is not the conditioned. This world is not that world is not this world. The conditioned is empty of the unconditioned. The unconditioned is empty of the conditioned. So this, as I say, represents the comparatively dualistic approach. But this sort of dualistic approach is necessary, at first, as the sort of working basis of our spiritual life in its early stages. We have to make this distinction, we have to make this division. We have to think to begin with, well, here is the conditioned and there is the unconditioned. And I want to get from here to there. This is how we cannot help thinking in the early stages of our spiritual life. So we take as our working basis, as it were, this duality of the conditioned and the unconditioned, mutually exclusive, the one not being found in the other.